This is Daf Kuf Lamed Hey. So we're in the very, very top line. The Gemara says, "Hahu dehava kashachiv." A person was dying, not yet dead, but he was dying. And Rashbam writes on the top here, it's a situation where hayulo achim velo binyan demuchsuk liyavam. The situation where the ill person had brothers but didn't have any children, which means when he dies, his wife is now chayiv for the yavam, the chayiv to be with the brother-in-law. The Gemara explains, Amrule, so they said to the husband who was dying, Asis Elaman, who your wife, who is she going to marry? So Amrule, he says to them, Chazir the Kohen Rabba, she's permitted even to marry the Kohen Gadol. So why, what's the idea there? Because Amar Rava Mai Nichashla, Ha Amar Rava Chia Bar Abba, Amar Biochan Baal Shamar Gerashti Es Ishti Neman. Because if a husband says that, that he divorced his wife, we trust him. So in essence, by him saying she's permitted to the Kohen Gadol, is his way of saying, I divorced her, she's single, she's not chayiv to be with the Yavam. So it's a very strange thing. Look at the Rashbam. Rashbam writes, two lines down, Chazil Kana, lav dafka, doesn't really mean she's permitted to the Kohen, or Kohen Gadol, ela shimuter sal venim zuhukal Yavam. She's permitted, she's single. Because Mil Lekana Asir, she's actually Asir to marry the Kohen, if he divorced her.
Forget about the Kohen Gadol.
Right. Exactly. So he actually, Rashbam takes out the word Rabbi, just says Kahana. He says she's also to her Kohen, just a way of saying she's mutter to marry anyone. Now, this next line of Rashbam is very important. It connects to what we discussed yesterday with Tosfos and that Migo. So he says, Deha de Migo de Baal Shamar Girashis Ishti Neman Meheminam. Because since he has a Migo, he could have divorced her, so we trust that he divorced her right now. So they take out the Girs of Migo. It's really that he was saying he actually did divorce her. And that's why the Gemara here is laf dafka. She's not really permitted to Kohen. She's permitted to the Shuk. Now, the Tosos here also talks about this issue. Tosos, Dir Maschel Chazia, he says, Yesh mochin the word Rabba. Some erase the word Rabba. Rashbam also seemingly didn't have the word Rabba. Mishum de l'chol apachos, at least almana he. She's at least an almana when he dies. And we know an almana can't marry a Kohen Gadol, v'lo chazir l'Kohen Gadol. So the word kana might be there. Because it's also very possible what he was saying here, that she's permitted to the Kohen, is that maybe they have children. Remember, they had a chazaka that there are no children in the situation here. So maybe when he was saying she's permitted to marry a Kohen, he was saying, I've got a son, that's why she's not zakuk to Yavam. But she's certainly going to be also to not Kohen Gadol, because she's going to be at least a almana. And the Omer Reed Tosu continues to say that the Reed holds, the Shapir Gar is Rabba, you can have the word Rabba, that's okay. This is what Rashbam was saying. He didn't really mean permitted to the Kohen or Kohen Gadol. It was just a way of saying that she's permitted to marry someone. Now look at the last few lines of this Tosfos where it says Harav Menachem Garis Chazir LeKuhuna. He had different gears, so that she's permitted to the Kuhuna. What does this mean? Kolomar Einas Akukul Yavam. She's not chayv to go to the Yavam. The Chazeres LeKuhunas Beinasa Lechel B'tshuma. That she's allowed to go back home and eat to the father's house. She was a daughter of a Kohen. That's what it meant. She could go met Benach, she could marry a Kohen. So there are a few different interpretations how this line is understood. Either way, we see when the husband says she could marry a Kohen, he's trying to say that he divorced her and he's trusted that he divorced her and she's single.
Every time the Gemara mentions Rabba, it's Kohen Gadol.
No, it says Kahana Rabba in that context.
So one says every time it says Kahana Rabba, it's Kohen Gadol.
Yeah,
that's the Lashon of Kohen Gadol.
Yeah, in Aramaic, yeah, that's how they'd say it.
You couldn't say it in Chashev or Kohen, no.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah,
all the Rishon, yeah, all the exact, all the Rishon here, and suddenly that's a Kohen Gadol. So all right, now, so Amar Le Abai, is it really true that we always trust the husband? Abal Shamar Gashi is Ishi Neman. Is that really true? Amar Le Abai Vahak Kiaser Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef when Rav Yitzchak came back from Eretz Yisrael. Amar Rav Yochanan, he quoted Rav Yochanan, Baal Shamar Gashi is Ishi Eino Neman. He's not trusted to say he divorced his wife. So there's a stira. So Amar Le, so they say back to Abai. But me, Avalav, Milo, Shanina, didn't we answer the question already yesterday? Kan l'mafreya, kan l'haba. So we gave an answer, a teretz. Yeah, l'mafreya, we don't trust him, but mekan l'haba, we do trust that he divorced her. So the Gemara says, v'ashnuya nekam v'lismoch, are we going to rely on such an answer? Sometimes the Gemara asks questions and gives like suggested answers, but they don't know if that's really the answer, it was a suggestion. So who says that was a vada good answer? Maybe really we don't trust it. And the way Rashbam says, look at Rashbam around a little less than halfway down the narrow lines, Dima Maschel of Anan Ashniya Vechule, Dilma Amaroi Nenu Depliga Alivad Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe there are two Amaroim who argued what Rabbi Yochanan Shita was. But not that they're talking about Lamafrei versus Mekan Labba. Maybe the Mamash two different Shitas, and maybe we don't paskin that we trust Baal Shamar Girashis Ishti. So how could you rely on that? Halacha Lamaisa. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava le Rav Nasan bar Ami choshla. We're not saying vada, that's the case, that we definitely trust him vivade nemanus, but we're saying it's something that we should be concerned of, and it should be simply choshla. And therefore, we're not vada saying anything, but there's room to say that we could trust him, and therefore it's permitted. So just look what the Rashbam says, how he interprets the word choshla. Choshla means kabaye. When we're really saying we're concerned with shita sabaye, that maybe we don't trust the husband. That should say Baal She'amar Grashis Ishtin Eidon Eman, maybe. And therefore, Te'asa Lashuk, Misafik. She's asked to marry someone, Misafik, and therefore requires a Yibam, or really Chalitza, a Chalitza from the brother-in-law.
Right, she cannot get to
know. Exactly, because if it's Safik, and then maybe they're divorced, then it'd be asked to go to the brother-in-law. So you have to have a Chalitza before she get married to someone else. Fine. The Gemara now says, Ahu, Dahava Muchzak Landu Leslay Achi. A person had a understood the chazak was that he had no brothers, and Amar b'shas misa when he was about to die, he says deles le'acha, I've got no brothers. So Amar Rav Yosef my lechashla, what's the concern? What's the chiddush here? Chada number one is the muchzak on deles le'achin. Number one is we already have a status that he has no brothers. So what's he adding on by saying I've got no brothers? And number two, od ha Amar b'shas misa deles le, we trust someone b'shas misa. So Rashbam says, "V'od hamar b'shas misa." This is seven or six narrow lines up. V'apa pishein labanim, even though he has no sons, kevin the damar ein liachim neman lahatiro. So the guy has no sons. So now we have to look for a brother-in-law for this widow. So even though there's no chazaka, there's no children. If he says, "I've got no brothers," that's enough for us to let her marry whoever she wants. V'apa gav. The muchzak lan v'ache, even though there might be a chazaka that he in fact does have brothers, and she's zakuk liyavam, neman hatira. We trust the husband before he dies to permit her to marry someone whoever she wants. Migo di boy patilei begita. He could, if he wanted to give her a divorce and say she's single. So even though he didn't do that, if he says I've got no brothers, that gives him nemanus. So that's all pashut. So what exactly is the chiddush of this case here? When again there's a chazaka that there are no brothers, and the guy says I've got no brothers. We know you don't have brothers. What are you adding to the case here? So the Gemara says, Amr le'abaye ha'amri dike edim b'medinas hayam diyada di'islay ache. So they're brothers on the overseas who know that they're brothers. Hashemiyas ha'lesnayu kaman. But right now they're not in front of us. So that's the situation here. They're not in front of us. So the Rashbam says, Hashemiyas ha'lesnayu ve'ein lano elamasha ein eneros. We can only judge based on what we're seeing. There's no evidence, there's no testimonies. Okay, they're Edom, we heard it overseas, but they're not here. So all we have right now is that there are no sons. The husband says he has no brothers, and that's what we judge. She could go ahead and marry someone after her husband dies. Lav Hayinu, the Gemara says, this is not the case of the Rabbi Chanina. Dam Rabbi Chanina, Edom Bitzad Istin. What's this case of Rabbi Chanina? So Rashbam explains here that it's a situation where there's a shvuya. Look at the Rashbam here, five Y lines down. Lav ha'inu demakshinon b'ksubis perek ha'isha nisa armona. Gavi banta demar Shmuel. The daughters of Mar Shmuel were held captive. Dashtabayim, they were taken in captivity. Vaskinu la'ar di Yisrael, and they had escaped Eretz Yisrael. Vamru nishpesi v'tararani. We were taken away in captivity, but we were tar. We didn't touch the men. And Visharina Rabbi Chanina lehinasa the Kohanim, and he permitted them to marry Kohanim. Vamrina, we said Vahayika Edim and Vidinis Hayam Shinitmu, but aren't there Edim who saw you guys become captured? So we don't need your testimony that you were captured. So what he's saying, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Edim v'tad istan ruach tzvonis v'tehasar. You've got some random rumors from left field. They're going to make these ladies aser. Bring them here. Show me that they're here. Since they're not here, so we don't trust the Edim. So too in our case, so maybe they're Edim b'dinas hayam, that this guy's got brothers, but so long as they don't come forward, we're not concerned with this. So
why
therefore...
Why would we give them to come forward?
No, if they, we don't have to. They're not here, they're not here, that's it. We're not here, they're not here, nothing. We don't have to do any further research than that.
It seems that Taisha says on the previous case that if it would be 100% sure that they are Edim, she would be us. It's just that there is a call that they're Edim.
Yeah, that's how we read Taisha after. Taisha writes, it's only when there's a rumor. If there are Vada Edim, then we're going to have to, and if there are Vada Edim, then we would, Einachanami would not let them.
The same thing would be in the case of Rabbi Chanina. If it would be for sure Edim that they were, no?
Mistama, he'd say the same thing, yeah.
He would probably say the same.
I would imagine, yeah. So the Gemara ends up saying, we're skipping the parentheses, so, where did we go for a second? Oh, no, I'm sorry, we need to get the parentheses. Amar Le, Abaye, So if you're going to be leaning by a shvua, does that mean you're going to be naked with regards to a married woman? Certainly not. There are two different halachas here. So look what the Rashbam says here. Rabbi Kivager has a problem with this Rashbam. Rashbam, around halfway down the wide lines, nekel, the beginning of the line, nekel be'eshes ish, b'tmiya, are you going to permit an eshes ish? Dika iser chanek, there's a misa, but the shvuya case, marrying a kohen, oh, that's a low-level iser. But to permit now an eshes ish, that's a chiyah misa. How would you permit that? So look at Rabbi Kivager asks in Gilyan Ashas here. He quotes Rashbam, this is the bottom of the Gilyan Ashas. He says, Kashali, ha'yatas me'isra eshes, rak hi yavamalashuk, the rak lav. We're talking about a situation where the husband dies. So she's no longer an Eishes Ish. She's just a Zakal Yalim. She's stuck to her brother-in-law. So it's override that Isser, the Hurak Lav. It's simply a Lav. That's the Kvigar's question. So the Gilyon Hashas, the Gilyon Hashas, if Yosef Engel has the following suffix in his Sefer Asman Derais. Asman Derais is a wonderful Sefer. So he, in Klal Ches, he has the following Chakira. When the woman is Aser, Yivam Lashuk, a woman is stuck to her Yavam, and she cannot marry into the shuk until she gets a chalitza. So the iser shel yavam l'shuk. He wants to know, is that because she's attached to the yavam, now the new brother-in-law, and it's almost an ashen-ish to lie brother-in-law, or because it's somehow an iser that comes from the previous one that died? That's his suffix. Is it based on the one who's dead that she was married to first, who's now dead, or because she's attached to the new brother-in-law? So he proves from this sugya here, the fact that we call her an ashen-ish, that she is attached to the live brother-in-law, there's some level of ishus there, and that's why it's considered an ishus issue. That's what proves the Gemara, it's called ishus ish.
And you couldn't say that we're concerned that she might have relations before he dies? Meaning he's saying, listen, I divorced her. So it could be an union of ishus ish, because she could still have with a man before he dies.
Yeah, but this is not a case where he divorced. This is a case where he said, I've got no brothers. He never claimed he divorced her.
We're not talking on the other, but the same applies on the one that he says.
I divorced her.
That I divorced her.
If you say I divorced her.
And he's still alive, he didn't die yet. So we say we believe him, right?
In that case, we believe him, yeah. So how to connect to here?
Meaning, you could also be concerned. It's also an Asia's ish.
Now she's divorced.
No, but there
we were no aiding. There he was actually giving his own aiders.
Right, but then we weren't sure whether we trust him in general. That's my focus. We trust him. We don't trust him. Granted. Okay. Either way.
So here you say.
So what? Anyways, the Yosef Engel proves from here the fact that we call an Yavama that's Asa Lashuk as an Ashes Ish proves that she's connected. The Yavam, the brother-in-law who's alive, there's some level of Ashes Ish that exists automatically. This doesn't answer the Shaila of the Rashbam who says it's actual Chenek, because that we don't find anywhere Chenek by, even if you want to assume that there's some level of marriage between the Yavam and the Yavam automatically, no one says that it will produce an issue of Chenek. Either way, none of that's an interesting discussion. So the Gemara now says, so Amar Lei Rav Ravnah Nasan Bar Ami Chushla. No, we're not saying we vadai trust the husband that he says I've got no brothers because their rumor is saying otherwise. Their aid in there saying otherwise. We're just concerned. Again, it's a case of chosh. We're concerned, and therefore she can't get married until she is chalitza. She's a safek yivama now, and therefore she requires a chalitza before she could go ahead and marry into the shuk. Gemara now says, the quotes from the Mishnah, the last eight lines of the Amud here, Ze'achi einu neman. The guy says, this is my brother, we don't trust him. We did a whole complication of the Mishnah, so since I agree that he's my brother, so I need to give some of my portion to him, but you don't have to because you deny that he's your brother. But if he gets property back, so then I get the property back. We had all those different scenarios. So the Gemara says now, V'idach ma kamre. So what do the other brothers say? I'm the one who says that Reuven's my brother. You guys all deny that Reuven's not our brother. So what do you guys say? If you guys all agree that he is Taka, your brother also, so then why does Reuven only take my portion, not all of your portions? So it's obviously not a case where we all agree he's the brother, because then he get an equal portion. So what's the case? So it's where you guys all say he's not your brother. I say he is our brother, you say he's not our brother. So then, if that's case, if you guys deny that he's your brother at all, so Ema Seifa, look what the Seifa says. If Reuven, let's say our brother, gets property somehow from somewhere else, so then he dies, we all share it equally. So why do you guys share it equally? The ha'amrile lavachuno. You guys just said he's not your brother. So if Reuven, my brother, who you guys deny is your brother, Reuven gets property. How can the Mishnah say, if he dies, we all get the share? You guys denied him being your brother. You should have no chelik in this. So where is a situation where he doesn't take your property away, but you would take his property away? What's the case? You guys don't know. You guys aren't sure if he's the brother. You don't know. So what's, how does it help out with anything? So Amar Rava, Rava says, Oso meres, mana libiyadcha v'hala amar in yodea pater. If a guy says, you owe me money, and the guy says, I don't know if I owe you money. So you can't make the guy pay if he doesn't know, unless they're Edim. So you guys don't know if he's your brother. So father dies, we all split the property, and comes along Reuven, oh, Reuven to the other brother. You guys said, we don't know. So in yodea doesn't have to give him any type of property. I, who say, he is the brother, I'm vadai, I do have to give him the property. That's the situation here. Okay. So, now, when he dies, let's say, and then his property goes back to us, so you guys do get to keep it. Since I think you guys don't know, and I think that he is our brother, and we're all brothers here, so then that's why you do get to take his property when it comes back, when it comes from other place, fine. So the Gemara then says, Abaya, my Abaya says, the Olam really, not truly, Olam, we hold, Emel Chachayiv. If a guy says, you owe me money, and you say any odeya, the law is the Shema actually does have to pay. Because Rashbam writes here, Liolam Chayiv, the Bari Vishema Bari Adif. I say you owe me money, you say you don't know, Bari's Adif. So what's the case here? So how come when I say that it's a brother, I'm Vadai, and you guys say Shema, you don't know, you should have to pay also your property to split all everything with him? What's different here? So says the Gemara, we'll go back to Rashbam in just a second. Vishani Hacha, this case is different. The Kimana La'acher B'yadcha Dami. It's like a different money. What does that mean? So look at the Rashbam on the top here. Continuing with that Rashbam I started with. Vishani Hacha, this case is different. Da'asafik Atzmo Eini Yodea. The guy himself has no idea. Reuven doesn't know. He's not making any tainas on him. Ve'eini Yachal Liton Tainas Vadai. V'safik V'safikyu. Reuven comes along. I said, Reuven, you're a brother, remember? Reuven says, I've got no idea. And you guys say, you have no idea. So it's Safik versus Safik, you guys and him. And Safik with Safik, Hilkach Oki Mamona Becheskes Mario. So therefore, we keep Safik, two Safik cases, we leave it as status quo. Aval Ha'ach Torin Mishvil Safik, Mano La'achi B'yadchem. I now step in and say, wait a second, I remember. Reuven's our brother. It's maybe been a few years, but he's definitely our brother. So I'm trying to protect him and represent him. But there, you guys say to me, Hilkach Amri Lei La Bal Dvirma Didiat. Who are you? You're having a conversation with Reuven, and Reuven's nobody. For me to step in and say, oh, Reuven's our brother, you can say, get out of the picture. It's not between me and you. It's between us and Reuven. And for that reason, you guys are potter from paying him anything, because he's also Shema. Only I'm chayv to pay him money, because I say, vadai, I do owe him money. And that's the case according to Abaye. Okay, the Gemara now says, two lines down, the two dots. Meis yichazu nechasum limkomam. So now Reuven has property, and he gets money from elsewhere. So then when he dies, we actually all get to keep the money. Even you guys get to keep the money if it comes from elsewhere. So again, just to get the case down, let's say it was a simple case where the two of us, me and you, and the father had three properties. So we each get a field and a half. Now he comes along and Reuven, I said, oh, you're a brother, you get a full field. So you say, no, he's not. So I give him a half a field and he has to claim from Ricky the other half. Now if he dies, I get the half a field back, you get nothing because I gave it away, you didn't. But let's say Reuven now got property from elsewhere. I don't know, he had a different mother, let's say, or whatever the case is. He got it from the mother. And then he dies. We both split that extra property because I say that you also should get a chelik in this. Even though you have no idea, I'm admitting that any property comes, it's going to be both of ours if it's additional. The initial half a field definitely goes to me because I gave that field, I get that field back. But anything in surplus to that, we get to split because I think it's both of ours to split.
Why are you such a nice guy?
I'm an honest guy.
Said,
no, I'm an honest guy. I think that's what happened. Not being nice. I'm honest.
Because the truth is, you should get anything.
No, if it's because...
Just like he doesn't... You gave him your piece. You gave him a half a field. You gave him a half a field. Now, if something happens to him, he's my brother, and that means he's our brother, you get two, Ricky.
Right.
No, so you should say, he's my brother.
Right.
I mean, all of a sudden, Ricky changes his mind. Now he is a brother.
I mean, the other guy can say, I don't think I deserve it, and I'll take it, but
No, you should say kaka. You should say talking about you, Rabbi. Okay.
So that's see the.
You say, I don't deserve it. I'm right. A minute ago, you said he's not my. I'm not part of the family now. Yeah, I'm part of the family. I mean, only see doesn't look a little wishy washy.
Right. Yeah, I hear, but I'm an honest guy. Let's see the Gemara.
But
let's see the case of the Gemara, because I think this case of the Gemara might help us appreciate this case a little bit more. So let's see the Gemara says as follows. Bai Rava, Shevach Sheshavchu Nechasim Me'alei Mahu. So let's say, now he has his property, this half a field he has, and it increases, it appreciates. Now, and he dies, who gets that appreciation? Do I get everything, or do now we split the appreciation, that extra amount above the half a field initial value? So the Gemara explains, b'shevach ha-magil k'seifim, anything that was magil k'seifim means shoulders, that he put effort into, tirch, that he worked on his own, lo tibay lecha, that's not a shayla at all, that we all have to split, because that's as if it came from elsewhere. Now, could just imagine, that half a field, anything extra on that, that was, again, what we said in the Mishnah, it's like other assets he gained, that we both have to split. The shayla is, really, ki tibay lecha b'shevach she'en magil k'seifim. The appreciation that didn't come about because of any shoulder work, any effort that he put in, it was just natural appreciation over time. Could go in diklav alim, the tree got bigger, that's what happens. Or ara vaska shartan, or the field and water came up and made it a very plush ground to have things grow. Those are natural things that happen in Mimela. Maybe in that case, so maybe I should get everything entirely because I gave that half a field comes back to me. Or to view that as being above the initial price, which case that surplus we would have to evenly split. That's the whole shaila here. And the Gemara says, "My what's halacha?" Gemara and Nateku, we don't know what to do in that situation. Okay, fine. The Gemara now says the new Mishnah. Misha meis v'nimtzeis daitike kshura al yirecha. A guy has a dies and he has a daitike, which Rashbam says is a shtar tzava, a will. That the Shechemir are written, who gets what property. It's tied to his yerecha, to his leg, his thigh. And Harez Enokum, it's worthless. Even though he's got the will there, if people die, you have to look for the will. If it's tied to his leg, it means nothing. So what's the relevance of being tied to his leg? Says the Rashbam here, Al Yerecha, Rebusanak. This is a chiddush we're learning from here. Dilek Lameimar Acher Kasav Nasa Lasham, Kede Lizakos Benichse Emes. You can't say that some guy wrote it and he wanted to, you know, this was old news of people trying to take advantage of sick people. Some guy wrote it and, you know, kind of stuck it inside the pocket. So, oh, Reuven gets all the property. So there's no room to think that someone was playing games here. No one's going to stick the will in the guy's private area. So obviously the Shechemir himself wrote it and he was responsible. So that would seemingly indicate that it should be a good will. Kamash Malon, even in that case, even though you find it in a very private area where no one else would put it, still, it doesn't mean anything. It's not a good Shemira. Okay. The Gemara doesn't address it. I don't know if they're Edom. I don't know if you have to have the Edom or not. You need a Kinyan. I don't know if you necessarily need Edom. I don't think it requires Edom. Kinyanim don't require Edom. It helps, but you don't require Edom. So I imagine not. Okay, so then, again, that doesn't work. Even though, again, there's room to good reason to say that he was koned, it doesn't work. And the reason is because, just look at the Rashbam, Arei Zu Eino Klum. Why is it not good? It's a good will he wrote. Because Shafilu Im Hichzik Acher Misa Baosa Shtar, even though you're holding on to the shtar after he died, Osa Shenichtav Alo Amatana Lokani, even the guy's holding on the document onto the will that you see, the dead guy wrote the property to me, even though in general a will does take effect after the death, that's only so we don't want him to get upset and die perhaps from the effort. The way, if you're using a shtar, if you said, you know, the guy dying said, I want Reuven to have all the property, that's final. If he wrote it onto a shtar, he put it onto paper, the halacha is that the guy only wanted it to be final once he handed the paper to the guy. If he never handed the paper to the individual, the recipient, it doesn't work when you use a shtar. So that's why, he said, since it was found on him, on the body, that doesn't mean anything.
So who has to hand it over? the person that writes the shar, can somebody else hand it over?
Yeah, you can appoint the shliach to hand it over. Yeah, the shlichas works.
But it has to be handed over to whoever.
Exactly, because once you use a star is only meaningful if the guy holds it.
If the guy has it.
The guy never gave it away, so it doesn't work. He thought about it, he wrote it, but he never gave it through, and therefore it doesn't work. So it's meaningless no matter, even if we know for sure that he wrote it. It doesn't work until the recipient has it.
Right after he wrote it, he had a stroke.
It's a technical, no, we don't know. We can't figure out what he wanted.
Right.
So it's so the Gemara now, the Mishnah now says, Zicha bala acher, if he now is a mezaket to somebody else while he's alive, so then bein mina yorshin, bein sheino mina yorshin, the dvar of kayamim. So what's this case? Says the Rashbam, laacher mechayim, the alpha pishlo nichtav l'shem osoish, even though he doesn't write who's going to get it, ela kach amrlo. This is what he writes in the will. Nechasim aksum mishtar ze, the property that's listed in this document here, ani makne lecham, giving to you. So you write in the will, I've got this property, I've got that building, I've got that house, I got this asset, that asset, and I don't write who's going to get it. I just list the assets. And I say, whoever, you know, after I die, it's going to be given to someone. I don't specify to. I hand it over to Reuven, it's all yours after I die. That's good enough. That's a good enough din. Because Rashbam says, Delo gar mitzavas piv. If the guy said, I want Reuven to have it, that works. So certainly if you write in paper, list all your assets, and then you say, I want Reuven to have it, that works as well. It shouldn't be any worse than that. And it's where even though you're giving it to a person who's not royally Yarsho, it's still good, a good kinyan after the guy dies. That's what the Mishnah tells us. So now, again, when it comes to, again, Daitikim, when it comes to Shtar, it needs to be given over to someone. Either the person themselves, or someone to be Mezakeh, Zachon Adam Shlobafanim, someone who could be Zoche on behalf of the recipient. So the Gemara now quotes a Bryce, Tani Rabbanan. Ezehi daitiki. What exactly is a daitiki? What's the strange word here? So the Gemara says, Kol shekaseba da tehei lemakam lios. When it says da, this should be his, and Rashbam says after he dies, that's what daitiki is. It's in essence a will. Is that how they're defining it, by the way, in the article, as a will?
No. They just call it daitiki.
Okay. I think it's in essence working something like, maybe it could be a will, it works a little bit differently. But whenever you write da, Tehei lemekim lios. This should be where you should collect from after I die. That's a daidiki. Now the Gemara asks, quotes from the Brayis of Ezehi Matana, what's called a gift. Kol shekaseba mehayom lachamisa. If you write, a gift is when you say, this is yours from today until after I die. From after I die, that's a gift. Gemara says, that's strange, that's a gift. El mehayom lachamisa hu dehavya matana. Only if you write mehayom and lachamisa is it considered a gift. But if you simply write meachshav lahavya matana, if I want to gift something to you now, that's not called a gift? Of course that's called a gift. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Baye Hachi Kamar. The Gemara was asking, the Bryce was asking, Ezi Matnas Bari Shi Kimanash Shchemira. Of course we know if I give you a gift, it's a gift right away, Me'achshav. We want to know, what's a matana of a healthy person that's the equivalent of a Shchemira, which means that it only takes effect after death. So that the Gemara answers, Delokana El Achamisa. That's when you write kol shekaseba mehayom lachamisa. That's a matana that only takes effect after misa, just like a matnas shchemira. This is a matnas bari. So Gemara now has Yosef Rabba bar Rav Huna b'achsadja de'beiraf. One time, Rabba bar Rav Huna was sitting in the achsadja, the nice gazebo of some sort of Beirav. The Yosef, he was sitting with Kamar Mishmei Rabbi Yochanan, he was quoting a halacha in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, which is what? Shchemira Shamar Kisru V'tinu Mani El Ploni Umeis. The guy says, I want you guys to write a document and give it over that I'm giving $100 to Reuven. And he dies before they got to write anything. What's the halacha? Ein Kosvin V'nosin. We don't write and give it. If it wasn't written and given before he died, you can't write it after he died, even though he gave you the tzava. Because Shemelo Gomer Laknosa El Bashtar, perhaps the intention of the Shchemira was only to have it acquired through the giving of a shtar. And Vein Shalach Hermisa, you can't write a shtar after he died. If the Shchemira says, I want you to give money to him, just tenu, so that we give always. But if he adds in the word Kisra, I want you to write it and give it, if it wasn't written, so you cannot write it after he dies. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan taught. So Amar Lehu, Rabbi Elazar is Daruba. So comes along Rabbi Elazar, who's a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. He says, "Is daruba? This is the halacha. Shekein halacha. That's how we paskin." So comes along now Rav Shizvi, and he has a little bit different, slight change of what happened. Amra Rabbi Elazar Amra. Now really Rabbi Elazar was the initial person behind the statement that if he says a kisfu v'nasnu, we don't give it after he dies, after Shemira dies. And then came along Amar Rebbe Le Rebbe Yochanan is Darba. Then Rebbe Yochanan comes along and says, oh, that's halacha like Rebbe Elazar. That's how he had it. So the machlokas, who said the initial statement, and then who was the one who agreed to the initial statement? Rebbe Elazar versus Rebbe Yochanan. And so the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Kvasei the Rav Shizvi Mistavra. It makes more sense what Rav Shizvi says, that first Rebbe Elazar said the statement, and Rebbe Yochanan said, oh, that's the halacha. Why is that more Mistavra? Because he Amris Bishma, if you say that Rebbe Elazar Amra, he said the initial statement. So then, it's Rebbe Yochanan, you need Rebbe Yochanan, who is the Rebbe, Lasude Aled Rebbe Elazar, to come testify that his Talmud Rebbe Elazar was correct. That would make a lot of sense. But Elai Amras, Rebbe Yochanan Amra, if you say that Rebbe Yochanan said the halacha first, it's Rebbe Elazar Lasude Aled Rebbe Yochanan Rabba? Do you need Rebbe Elazar to come along and tell his say that his Rebbe is correct? That's not right. That's a lack of kavod. Just like we have by kibud av va'em, that if a father says something, it's very disrespectful for the son to say, oh, daddy, you're right. You can't say that. It's one of the examples brought down. He doesn't need you to agree with the father. So too, the Talmud should not be agreeing to the Rebbe. The ode, moreover, he got another proof, the Gemara says, Tashma. The Rebbe Elazar, Amra, that Rebbe Elazar, who was the one who said the initial statement, and not Rabbi Yochanan, because the Shalach Rabbin Mishmeid Rabbi Abahu, Havayod Mishino, Sheshalach Rabbi Elazar Legola, Rabbi Elazar sent out to the diaspora, Mishum Rabbeinu, in the name of his Rebbe, who was Rabbi Yochanan, Shchimira, Shamar Kisu Vitanu, Mani Laploni, Umes. The Shchimira says, I want you to write and then give a money to Ploni, and then the Shchimira write dies. Before you write any shtar, the lacha is ein kos v'nosin. You don't write it and give it because shema lo gamar laknosa ela b'shtar vein shtar lacha misa. So we clearly see that Rebbe Elazar was the initial person who said the statement, and then came along Rebbe Yochanan Amar Tibdak. Rebbe Yochanan says, do some research afterwards. So we see clearly Rebbe Elazar was the initial author, the initial person behind the statement, and Rebbe Yochanan was saying that's the lacha. So Gemara wants to know, what does it mean, my tibadak? What does Rabbi Yochanan mean when he says, check it out, do some research? So the Gemara says as follows. Kiyasir Rav Dimi came, he said two halachas. Now our concern is the second halacha. The second halacha is going to give us a definition of what the tibadak means. So first Rav Dimi said, Amar daitiki mivatelas daitiki. Number one halacha is, if a guy writes one will, then he writes a second will, so the second will is going to then cause the first one to be null and void. I'm sure there are many halachas and wills. People probably redoing wills all the time as they get more assets and they change things, family changes. So the second one, the later state, always cancels out the first state. That's halacha one. It seems like a very important and obvious point, though. And the shchimira, second point is, the shamar kisu v'tenu mani laploni umeis rowin im kimiyafa es kocho kosvin v'imlav ein kosvin. So this is what tibabek means. When a person says, to a shchimira says, write and give $100 to Reuven, so he dies, so says Rav Dimi, that you don't say you don't write it at all, you have to do a little research. Figure out, why did the shchimira say, write the document? What was the reason? Was it because he wanted to say that it's not going to be final until you write it? Or he wanted to just give strength to Reuven? Because if you write a shtar, Reuven, who's the recipient, will have greater proof that it's his. If you simply say, give it to Reuven, fine. He wrote kisru just to give him greater strength, to miyapa kocho. So if the point was to simply miyapa kocho, but his real intention was to make sure he gets it right away, so then you are allowed to write the shtar even after the death of the shchimira, if it's really miyapa kocho. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Do some research of why he wanted to be written. If it's, again, to miyapa kocho, to give strength to the recipient, then you can write it even after death. So we'll see that in a second. But if it's only to just, he had a certain hakpada, that he only wanted the transaction to take place with a shtar, so then you cannot write the shtar after Shchemira dies. So we'll get to your question in a second. The Gemara is going to address it. So Gemara asks a question now. Masiv Rabbi Abba Bar Memel Bari Shamar Kisu V'tenu Manil Ploni Umeis Ein Kosu V'nosim. The healthy person says, write and give some property to so-and-so, and he dies, you can't write it after the death of the individual. So the Gemara is medayik. But ha shchemira kosu v'nosin. But the implication is, but if the guy was dying, then he can. You can write the document after the Shechemira dies. And so the Gemara answers, who most of love, who bin Farikla. He asks the question, but he also answered the question. What was the answer Rabbi Abba Bar Memel said? It's Mifarikla, Mimimiafes Kocho. No, normally you cannot write any documents after the Shechemira dies, but if it's a situation where the Shechemira only said it to write a shard to give koach to the recipient, so then everybody would agree you can write the shtar after the death of Shemira. So Dr. Simai's question, the last line of the Gemara here, Heichidamim Miyafet Kocha. What's the case of Miyafet Kocha? How do you know it's Miyafet Kocha? And so the Gemara answers on the top of Kuflam and Vav. We'll go to the Mishnah a few lines down. Kedam Rav Chista, Kinyana Minei Mosif Al Mesnisa, Duh. So Rav Chista, there's a decent sized Rashbam here, talks about the situation here. But in essence, if a person writes in a shtar the following words, as the Gemara says, Kinyana Minei Mosif Al Matana Da, the guy writes a kinin. The guy says, I gave you as a matana. But then he writes that you really bought it from me. Now, even though the recipient never bought it from him, he wrote that you bought it from him just to give strength to his control over it. That's a situation where you're giving strength, miyapa kocho, to the recipient. So along the same lines, that's a different context, a whole other discussion in Rav Chista's case. But now bring it back to our case, where there's a shchemira, the Gemara says, hachanami damar af ksuvu v'chasumu v'havile. The guy uses the lashon of give it, and also write it, and sign it, all those languages, that's clearly indicating that he's trying to give a greater strength, miyapa kocha, to the recipient. If he says, kisvu v'nasnu, that means he wants it to be a kinyan through the shtar. There you can't write it. But again, if you use the language, af ksuvu v'chasumu v'havu, that's indicating that he's simply doing it to give strength to miyapa kocho, and you would write it after the death of the shchemira. That's what the Rashbam understands. Okay, and the Gemara says to conclude here, Itmar. It was said that Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel halacha kosm venosin. When the Rashbam adds in, you can write and give it after the death of the shchemira, if you could figure out that he was doing it for miyapa kocho, you can do that. V'chein Amarav Nachman halacha kosm venosin, that in fact you can write it after the death of the shchemira, again once you find out that he did in fact write it to miyapa kocho of the Mekabel. Okay, we'll stop there.